Today I want to teach on some research I did 20 years ago on the man of God and that title. What does it mean, you know, the man of God? You see quite often in the Old Testament, Moses, Elijah, Samuel, many other people are referred to as the man of God. Because we know in our day and time we have Holy Spirit within us all the time because we're born again. In that day and time, it was a different covenant with our God, and the one true God. And they would have Spirit on them for a time, and they would have, God would set a prophet up, or a judge, or whatever, and a man of God, and he would get revelation, he would tell the people the word. And that's the way it worked. But it's interesting, that sort of, and it was another ministry a lot of us were involved in, where that term got misused. And they would talk about so-and-so being the man of God for our day and time, or something like that. And it's interesting, because if you look in the New Testament, the phrase, the man of God, is only used once in the entire New Testament. That's even including the Gospels. And that would be 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And it's interesting, Jesus Christ was never referred to as the man of God. Paul was never referred to as the man of God. If anybody had a right to be called the man of God, surely it would have been Jesus Christ. But Paul, you know, John, Peter, none of these guys, great men of God, they were never referred to as the man of God. But it's interesting because Jesus Christ had a title that goes way beyond the man of God. He was the Son of God. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. And it says, wherefore God hath also exalted him, Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. He's got the best name ever. And see, the whole man of God thing in the Old Testament was sort of a stopgap measure. It was the best that God could do for his people in the Old Testament. The name of Jesus Christ and the title of the Son of God put Jesus Christ in a unique position of power and prestige, and he's second to God himself. And it's interesting, we also have the same title, Son of God. Back in Timothy, it says the scripture's given for the man of God. Now, does that mean that only one leader? The Bible's written for the leader and not for... No, the Bible's written for the average person. God expects us to walk and talk as like we're Christ here on earth. We're wherever we go, we can be the man of God. We can be speaking for God. That's what's available in this day and time. In John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold... I always love it when the word says, behold. You know, it's like it makes you stop. It's one of those words that doesn't really change anything, but it's like it grabs your attention. Behold. And it's like, I remember it was like a couple months ago and my arm was hurting. And I think I told you the story. And I was praying to God and I said, behold, I got this problem, you know, and it shouldn't be here. Father, I command the name of Jesus Christ, it goes away. And so this is an attention grabber. Behold what manner of love. God could have just wrote the verse, you know, God loves us, I love you. But no, he's trying to grab our attention. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. It's interesting, I was thinking of the verse I came across, was reading the word the other day, and found the verse, one of the epistles Paul's writing, and he says, behold, all they that dwelt in Asia have turned against me. And he's talking about that area in Ephesus, where that's the same area where so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed, that pretty much everybody in that region heard the word of God, and they knew that Paul was there teaching Christianity. But yet, years later, when he wrote this epistle, it said they all turned against me. And yet, you see, when Jesus Christ was crucified, just a few weeks before, all the people laid these palms down. He rode in on a donkey, and there was just, oh, he's the great Messiah. And a few weeks later, as he was being crucified, there was, what, 5 or 10 people there at best, you know, when he was, you know, dying. And people were fickle. But God isn't. He knows this. God recognizes. We walk down the street, the unbeliever is not going to think, oh my God, there's a Christian that can speak the word of God. It's the Son of God. No, they're just going to look at, oh, there's just so-and-so. What the heck he's got? What's he wearing on his feet? What kind of ugly shoes are those? You know, I don't like that car he drives. And, oh, he roots for a different football team than I do. Or, you know, that's all. They look at the flesh. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's stuff happening in the future that we don't understand. There's also the times we're living in are incredible. The world's moving. There's things going on in politics and other things in the word movement that are just incredible in the last couple centuries that we're in, especially like even right now at this year. I mean, you got to live in the present. But we got this great hope. You know, it says, you know, our new bodies, there'll be no pain. You know, for those of us that are old and you get up and, you know, things hurt when you take your first few steps, boy, that's a great promise. Let's go to John 14:12. Here's a verse we've all seen many times. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it says, verily, verily, again, two words that don't really change it, but that's tension grabbers. Verily, it's like old English. It's saying of a truth. In other words, I'm not lying to you. What I'm about to tell you, this is important and it's true. You know, that's sort of a very loose translation in today's vernacular or idiom or whatever you want to say. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. God has given us the title of sons of God. We can do what Jesus Christ did. And this teaching, by the way, is online. It is on a written version of it. I'm sort of reading from it. When I write stuff, it always ends up longer than what I can teach. I remember a long time ago I was teaching and I had like 14 pages of notes, and the guy in the back's flashing the flat on my page 3. The guy's flashing his sign saying 5 minutes left, and I'm thinking, oh, 11 more pages, I'm not going to finish. So I've learned to self-edit beforehand. So again, Apostle Paul was never given the title of the man of God. Neither was Peter. Neither was anybody else in the New Testament. An apostle is a son of God who's taken on additional responsibility to serve the church. It's interesting, there's several that are sent in the Bible. One of the terms of people that are sent is an apostle. And that's a gift ministry. Jesus Christ was an apostle. Apostle Paul was an apostle. Peter was an apostle. And they were sent to bring new light to a generation. Jesus Christ was an apostle. He brought very interesting new light, a whole new covenant. And another one that's sent is angels. God can send an angel at any time. And another one that's sent is ambassadors. I don't know if anybody in this room is an apostle. I'm not going to claim to be, and I don't know if any of you guys, you could be, maybe, I don't know. And I'm pretty sure none of you guys are angels. I think you're all flesh and blood. But every single one of us in this room is an ambassador. We represent God. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We're walking down the street, they just think we're just Joe Blow, you know, lives in Denver, Colorado, walking down the street. But, you know, we represent God. It's a big deal. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, I saw this really interesting thing on the internet. And I had this interesting thing about this lady that left this one church. She was talking about what it was like leaving. It was a very interesting story. You get these organizations where it's very hierarchical. It's like a pyramid. You got the guy on top, and he gives his orders to the next level. They give their orders, and everybody, you know, with one or two people telling everybody what they have to do and have to believe. Christianity's not like that. I'm going to show you something here later. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I got a quote. But basically, the first century church was a lot of independent fellowships that were sort of loosely organized together. They didn't have a non-profit organization with one guy in charge. You know, years ago I took a class where they were trying to say the first century church was set up where Jerusalem was the headquarters and they ran everything out of Jerusalem. Well, you know, from what I've learned now, Jerusalem was where the word started, but pretty quickly that was where legalist persecution was centered in Jerusalem, so the people that really loved God had to move out and go somewhere else. But anyway, now that you're all 2 Corinthians, let's read this verse. Wherefore, let's start in verse 16. Wherefore, this is one of my new favorite verses. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, to be in Christ, that's to put the word on in your mind, renew your mind what the Bible says, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And I sometimes make the statement, I do it to shock people. I'll say, there's only one genuine ministry in the whole world. And they'll think, what? That sounds cult-like. That can't be right. Well, I said it's the ministry of reconciliation stated right here. That's the one genuine ministry in the world. And we all have that ministry. And anybody that's walking with God, you can be Roman Catholic, you can be Jehovah Witness, you can be Jewish, you can be anything. You're born again, and you're walking with God, you're operating that ministry. It doesn't matter what nonprofit corporation or whatever you're hooked up to. To wit, verse 19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. It's one of the things you see, one of the hallmarks of a false ministry is no impute sin. Oh my God, Diane, you didn't pray for 2 hours yesterday. What's the matter with you? You're sinning again? Fred, you drank two beers last month. What, you got this alcohol problem. What's up with you?
Yeah.
Oh, three. Oh my God, it's worse than I thought. You know, but that's not what God's about. You know, I love it where Jesus Christ had the woman taken adultery. They threw him. They wanted Jesus Christ to stone her, so he looked bad. You know, and he said, well, you, without sin, cast the first stone. And then when everybody left, he said, go and sin no more. You know, that's, instead of, like, focusing on people's sins, we'll just say, well, just, if you want to, just quit sinning.
Stop it.
Yeah, really. Verse 21. Did I read verse 20?
No.
Okay, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Pray we pray you in Christ's stead that be reconciled to God. For God hath made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Most Christian organizations are based on a hierarchical structure. They have a two-tiered system where the leaders are more spiritual than the average Christian. Well, wait a minute. We all have the same God in Christ in us. The Bible was written for everybody. We all have the same. We can understand. We can rightly divide the word. We all have the same power. God didn't give Reverend so-and-so more power than Job churchgoer. We all got the same full measure of Christ. I'm going to read that to you in a minute. We're coming up to that.